from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
One hour away from free agency opening. It's the 2024 NBA offseason, and this is our free agency special here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, and Dan Devone with you as we get set for what should be a big day here on 95.7 The Game. Chris Paul decision coming up, Klay Thompson decision coming up. There is a lot going on here around the NBA, and we're going to break it all down with you for the next 4 hours on 95.7 The Game. Again, it's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, and Dan Devone with you. Gentlemen, good afternoon. It's great to be on with you guys, and I'm sure we're going to have just a decent amount of breaking news here over the next 4 hours, and we'll get into it with an emphasis certainly on the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, it's the best off-season day of the year. The NBA does it better than the NFL. Is bigger than them, does better than MLB, does it better than NHL. When these things come down at the beginning of July, the end of June, all eyes are on the NBA, and stuff's going to happen extremely fast. So I'm glad we get about an hour to talk about what we think will happen, what we expect to happen, and then we can let the games begin. Shout out Bane.
It's Christmas morning for guys like Woj and Shams. I saw Woj literally on the air at 6:30 on
ESPN. He's Adrian to you, though.
Hey, well, you know, we're down like that.
Oh, yeah, you're close to that?
Fresno,
oh, wow.
Dropping names 5 seconds into the show. But, you know, think about last year, how nutty it got when Dame Lillard decided he was going to demand a trade. And then, like, boom, it just was absolute chaos the minute they lift the curtain at 6 o'clock East Coast time, 3 o'clock West Coast. I expect something very similar here today.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of news. 3 o'clock is when free agency opens, and technically that is when the moratorium begins, when teams are allowed to begin discussing and negotiating contracts with free agents, not from their own team. But we all know they've been talking for, like, the last week plus, which is why when free agency opens, even though none of these contracts can be official for another week, there will be a lot of news right at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 Eastern, and we'll get you all that big news here on 95.7 The Game. But of course, we are focused on what the Golden State Warriors do, and they will likely not be big players in normal free agency unless they do a bunch of things before then, because they don't have the ability to go out and outright sign anyone to major money at this stage. But there will be a lot of Golden State Warriors news over the next couple of days, and I expect a decent amount of news today. We are certainly, at the very least, guys, going to get some news on Chris Paul today, some way, shape, or form, because the Golden State Warriors pushed back his deadline where his contract is guaranteed from Friday of last week to today. And what that means is the Warriors, before free agency begins in now 57 minutes, they can either guarantee Chris Paul's $30 million, they can waive him, or they can trade him. They could also guarantee his $30 million and trade him later. But before 3 o'clock, something has to happen with Chris Paul. And guys, that is probably the first domino that leads into other moves for the Golden State Warriors, because that $30 million salary slot is going to go a long way in determining the flexibility that Warriors have with other moves they might be able to swing in trades, sign in trades, all of that as they try to retool their roster for the coming season.
Where are we at if we were to take the poll between the three of us of which option do you think is most viable at this point? Because I didn't think there was any way they were going to waive him. But the more as we get closer to the witching hour, I'm beginning to think that that's a strong possibility. Although having him as that trade asset, obviously, I think would be the more logical play at this juncture. I think ideally for that of the Golden State Warriors. But I'm just curious, if we were to take a pulse, where is it that you think the Warriors are leaning?
Well, I think it's either his or Clay's slot. Now, Clay is a little bit different because he's a free agent, so they could agree to a sign-in trade, and then that number becomes, I don't know, something probably between 15 and 20 million. But the Chris Paul guarantee, I don't know about you, Granny, but I feel like if they don't pick it up, that's not a good sign, because they really have no avenue, no path to make a large-scale upgrade that I think everyone's kind of been expecting. There's also a piece of news that's come out a minute ago from Woj that Max Christie intends to sign a 4-year, $32 million deal to stay with the LA Lakers. That was a team that is connected to Klay Thompson, potentially via sign and trade. And it's an interesting number. So I think either Klay or Paul has to be involved in a trade. Otherwise, the Warriors are just basically going to be sitting with their hands right beneath their hips and basically just sitting out free agency.
Yeah, and I think the ideal thing for the Golden State Warriors at this stage is both Klay and Chris Paul are involved in separate deals, because the Warriors want to get something back for these salary slots. And I guess to rewind even a little bit further, for those of you who haven't heard the news from yesterday, which was first that Paul George opted out of the last year of his contract with the Clippers, that essentially ends any Warriors' legitimate chance at acquiring Paul George, because now he's officially a free agent. And the rumor, the scuttlebutt today, is that there is momentum between the Sixers and Paul George. So with that out of really the realm of possibility for the Warriors, they move on to other fish. And then the fallout from that and the Warriors' chase of Paul George was that, per reporting from The Athletic, Anthony Slater and Shams Charania, that Klay Thompson has been frustrated enough with the Warriors' pursuit of Paul George over getting Klay a new contract. He is frustrated enough to basically, no matter what the Warriors' offer is, to sign elsewhere. And that's where a potential sign and trade with Klay Thompson comes into account, because there's so many teams out there that would like Klay but don't have the salary space to give him a bunch of money. They could offer him the mid-level exception, but Klay can get a couple million dollars extra if they execute a sign and trade, which helps the Warriors, because then they can at least get something back for Klay Thompson. So that's on the table for today as well. Klay Thompson sign and trade, Chris Paul potential trade, and you're right, Evan, and to your question, Dan, the question about what the Warriors do with Chris Paul, I think for me, almost no matter what, it's they guarantee the $30 million. They can also negotiate and guarantee any amount of that contract that they want, but they have to agree. So if there's writing on the wall that maybe Chris Paul is not going to get 30 from anyone, maybe they agree to go down to 25 or to 20 or whatever the number is. I think his contract will be guaranteed for whatever the number is. And the Warriors, even if they don't trade him early in free agency, they don't trade him today, they're going to be searching as best they can to find a partner for him. But I would expect the first major news we get is guaranteeing Chris Paul's contract.
You could re-sign him and then trade him at the deadline of next year. I mean, he could sit and be dead weight on your roster. It's not as though this is imminent and has to happen if something doesn't present itself. So yeah, I think getting back to Klay Thompson, I find this, if he signs at an MLE for the Lakers, just think about that for a second.
It's like $12.9 million, the mid-level, the taxpayer mid-level.
And the fact that he scuffed at, you know, the 2-year deal that was somewhere around reportedly at 24, 25 per, yeah, because it wasn't enough. And now he's willing to sign at 13. So there's a lot that to digest when it comes to a mid-level exception in Klay Thompson, which I find really fascinating. Is that part of Klay just simply signing out of spite? Like, I will do this simply to spite my former team. And I think that is might go into play in a lot of what it is and the headspace that is Klay Thompson as of today. So,
I mean, I've been hearing a lot of people bring that up, and do not think it is spiteful whatsoever. And there's been some revisionist history about the 2 for $48. Like, yes, if he accepted that, he would be making $24 million this upcoming season. But I don't think anybody expected him to say yes to that, because the same offseason, they gave another member of the Big Three $100 million. So why would Klay Thompson say, yeah, actually, I'm half the player that Draymond Green is, and I'll take your 2 for $48 extension? I think that was an offer that the Warriors put out there to make it appear like they want to keep Klay Thompson. I think they've tried to keep appearances this entire offseason that they want to keep Klay Thompson. But each and every turn we get to, we in fact hear that, well, there's not that much of a priority placed on Klay. That's the body language that I've been getting from the Warriors since that 2 for $48 was put on the table. I never expected him to pick it up. And it's understandable to me why Klay Thompson's been pissed this entire season, why he's been pissed at the Warriors, and why now he wants to go and try and compete for a contending team. If he goes to the Lakers, if he goes to, I don't know, the Dallas Mavericks, those two teams have reason to believe with Klay Thompson that they can be better than the Warriors next season, because the Warriors at this point don't have a way to replace him. So the fact that he'd be willing to take a mid-level exception, to me, is more about the market that currently is as opposed to the market that was last offseason. But I don't think Klay and people have any reason to believe that he's being spiteful towards the Warriors, because I don't think they really want him as badly as they are appearing to.
Well, it's interesting because the latest report, and there's the 2 for $48 that they reportedly offered early in the season, or late in the offseason, early in this past season. And then Chris Haynes of, you know, Turner, TNT, was reporting earlier this morning, I believe, that that Klay was upset by the Warriors' low $20 million per year offer. And this was as recent as, I think, yesterday or today, because the Warriors were so focused on Paul George, they put Klay on the back burner. Once they got word that Paul George was opting out of his contract, it essentially took them out of the running for Paul George. So the Warriors then turned to Klay and were like, all right, Klay, we'll now give you $21, $22 million a year. But Klay, so frustrated by the whole process, says, no, screw you guys, I want to go elsewhere. But now we have the reports that were seemingly the sign-in trade is the likeliest scenario for Klay Thompson, a little bit more than the mid-level exception. So you're looking at something like, I don't know, $15 million a year potentially on a sign-in trade. So it's not about the money, but he's getting a little bit more by helping out the Warriors with a sign-in trade instead of just going and signing with the Lakers for the mid-level exception of $13 million. He didn't want the 20 from the Warriors, but he doesn't want the 13 of the mid-level, and he'll take somewhere in between and help out the Warriors in the process. I don't really understand exactly where it's all coming from, but it just seems like he was personally offended enough by the way the Warriors put him on the back burner early in the offseason that he's saying, you know what, I'll go anywhere else, doesn't really matter to me.
How could he not be, if you really think about
it? I agree.
If you're Klay Thompson and you're sitting there and you haven't been offered a contract and you consider about everything that he's been able to do and synonymous with the championships, and we can go on and on. And essentially what the Warriors were saying, well, you're not necessarily a business priority. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, essentially what they're saying is, if it works with Chris Paul, we don't need you. If it works with Paul George and we sign him or he opts in a trade, we can't afford you. Basically what they're saying is, let us go and go down these other avenues, exhaust them.
You're like plan D, E, or F for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not difficult to see that Klay Thompson, in terms of his headspace right now, is not very happy with what it is that the Warriors have been doing right from jump street. I find the Lakers scenario also fascinating, because in order for that to take place, you're talking about LeBron James, who opted out yesterday to take a haircut and sign that deal with the Lakers, meaning that he would leave like $20 million on the table. That's the only way Los Angeles can afford a mid-level exception. If he comes in at his 50 to 55, they're not in play for Klay Thompson. That involves LeBron James, when he opts back in, taking a pay cut, much like that of Tom Brady. But Tom Brady, in terms of an NFL comparison, that's deferred money. For LeBron James, this is money he's just leaving on the table that he's never going to see. But the caveat being is that you go get James Harden, or you go get me Valanciunas, or get me Klay Thompson. So we'll have to wait and see. But I find it interesting that LeBron James is willing to leave some money out there so that the Lakers can now be eligible for a mid-level exception like that of someone like Klay Thompson. But Klay Thompson going to the Lakers, while it makes sense, again, in terms of quality of life, His old man's out there. Yep. His brother's out there. He has a place in Malibu.
He's from down there.
Yeah, so he's very familiar with Los Angeles. All of that is there. But 13 mil, really? I mean, that's a far cry from where we once were just a short, you know, year ago or 8 months ago. And I mean, 13 mil for Klay Thompson, I would think that's got to come up considerably.
Well, that's a $30 million step in the wrong direction if you're Klay Thompson. He made $43 million this year, making 13.
The other thing to take into consideration is Malik Monk and all this, who quietly went back to the Kings for 4 years. Do you think Malik Monk is a better basketball player straight up right now than Klay Thompson? So do I.
Yep.
And he signed 4 years.
$20 million.
A little less than 20 per. And I think that sort of set the bar as far as Klay Thompson in the guard position.
I think the player to watch in regards to Klay Thompson's market is probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because if he also doesn't get more than $20 million a year, I think he could, from either Denver, from probably Orlando, I think is the team he's been connected to.
Philadelphia, maybe, too.
Yeah, well, but if Philadelphia is in on Paul George, then they're not going to have much money left. So I think that's the player to watch for Klay Thompson's market. But he also might just decide if... I think what Klay Thompson is looking for right now is probably years, because he knows there's not going to be many, if any, contracts after this next one that he signs for anything worth, I don't know, north of $15 million. So he might be willing to take 15 or take the mid-level.
A four-year deal.
Or even three. I don't think there are many teams lining up to give him more than 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
And I think the report from Orlando a couple weeks ago is that they weren't willing to do more than one. So if you're Klay Thompson, you're taking a step back financially per year, but you're able to get more financial security via years.
So it comes down to seemingly coming down to whether or not Klay is how much he cares about an extra couple of million dollars over the top of the mid-level exception, because there's like a few teams lining up that could offer him the mid-level exception. It's the Dallas Mavericks, who cleared some cap space by restructuring or redoing the Tim Hardaway Jr. contract. So they cleared some cap space. They can mid-level. They can also sign and trade with the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers, as you're talking about, it depends on LeBron's situation. He's going to play it by ear. He's going to let everything else figure itself out, and then he'll sign his contract in a way around that to kind of make all the money work, which is, you know, as far as LeBron goes, a very selfless move to try to help his team and build a better roster. But it comes down to what does Klay want? And it's interesting, again, because the report was the Warriors most recently offered him a contract in the low 20s per year. He's upset enough that it doesn't matter what the offer is, he's going to go elsewhere. But also, it seems that the leader in the clubhouse is that he's not going to sign for the mid-level. He's going to do a sign-in trade, which helps the Golden State Warriors and gets him a couple extra million dollars. So there's kind of like a middle ground where he's spurning the Warriors, but by potentially agreeing to a sign-in trade, he's at least allowing the Warriors something back in return. Now, we don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but it's kind of a la Kevin Durant when he left and went to the Nets. The Warriors got D'Angelo Russell in return, and they flipped that into Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga.
And it
eventually
could happen again.
And it could potentially happen again, although the return for Klay Thompson is going to be a lot less than the return for Kevin Durant, because the contracts that those two guys were signing when they're becoming free agents, KD way back when and Klay now, is much different. And the Warriors can't take back all that money that they would have when they traded away Kevin Durant on that sign and trade. So it's not the same situation, but there is a world here where Klay potentially cares about a couple extra million dollars enough to where he helps out the Warriors a little bit and they get something, anything back in return for him.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to burst people's bubble, but the idea of a D'Angelo Russell player coming back is just not on the table. Like, if you're looking at the Mavericks, the players that are perhaps doable, people want Josh Green, who is, you know, 40% three-point shooter, two-way player, but Maxi Kleba is also an option. You know, they could throw in maybe Jaden Hardy, for the Lakers. I know people might want someone like Austin Reeves. I don't think that they'd be willing to get him. So you're going to have to eat someone like Gabe Vincent's contract, and then maybe Jared Vanderbilt. And then for the Clippers, who have also been a team that's been connected to Klay, you know, I think it's interesting that PJ Tucker opted into his $11.5 million player option. That's somebody that could come back. Or Terrence Mann, who's also making $11.5 million. So those are the kinds of players I think that the Warriors would try and get. And it's not necessarily that they look at him and say, oh, well, you know, we we're cool with taking a step back, but it's like you just need guys on the roster and you need players that could potentially play. I mean, I think the most promising of all of those guys that I just named would be Josh Green. But then again, you know, he wasn't a starter on a team that made the finals, and I don't know how good he actually is. So if you're the Warriors, you're just dealing with Klay to just get something back. But it's not a player I think that they're going to be able to flip and turn into, I don't know, Andrew Wiggins in a draft pick.
Well, when you think about the sign and trade, it's not about the Warriors getting better and getting players to basically to benefit their cause going forward. Essentially, what you're doing is throwing him a solid. Because there's a good chance that none of those guys make the roster for the Golden State Warriors, although obviously you need bodies. But essentially what you're doing is letting the Mavericks, letting the Lakers unload salaries so that they get underneath the cap.
Well, and you're helping Klay get a couple extra million bucks.
That's exactly what you're doing. So you're basically throwing him a solid. You're doing him a favor because it's not necessarily we want or have any level of interest of any of those guys. What it is that we're doing,
I don't know.
We're allowing some room.
I'd like Josh Green on this team.
Josh Green,
I mean, it's not like he's a better... He's not like would you, in a vacuum, forget money, would you rather have Klay Thompson or Josh Green? I think I'd still rather have Klay at this stage, even though Josh Green is young and he's under contract for a few more years, but it's not like he's anything crazy. But you're right. I mean, it's just because the other option is you get nothing back in return, and anything, no matter what it is better than nothing.
Yeah, and I don't think someone like that of Josh Green would be available. I could be wrong, but typically in these scenarios, the Josh Green types don't. They don't necessarily, in a sign and trade, are not the sort of guys that are available. But, you know, hopefully for the Golden State Warriors, you can get somebody like that. I think that the reality of Klay Thompson actually leaving town is now becoming very real. Tim Kawakami was reporting this morning that he was saying goodbyes to some executives and it got emotional. So, you know, just for a moment, once we get past all the, you know, the sign and trades and the free agency and where it is that he's going to end up playing, some of the emotion is going to be able to sort of take place. And I think it's really going to hit home to a lot of people, as it already has, that he is no longer to be part of the Golden State Warriors, which I think we can all agree on.
Yeah, I do not think he is. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bit skeptical. I'm not sure the sign and trade is just to help Klay get a couple more dollars. Like, I think it's a mutually beneficial thing. Like, I don't think the Warriors are just doing it to help him because from everything that we've heard, they haven't really gone out of their way to try and appease Klay or to even get close to appeasing Klay Thompson. So I think the sign and trade, yes, that could help him get a little bit more money, but it's also so that the Warriors can recoup a couple players.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like it's not just, I know they're trying to frame it. I feel like people are framing it as, well, the Warriors are trying to help Klay and do him one more solid on his way out. I mean, not really. Like, doing him a solid would be paying the man and keeping him here, which I have never felt like they've indicated they want to do, at least for, I mean, like, if he makes $50 million, you're telling me the Warriors couldn't have budgeted $15 million this offseason if they really wanted
to? The report this morning from Chris Haynes, they offered Klay in the low $20 million per year, and he was offended by that. Had previously been offended by them this offseason enough to where he said, I'm not even listening to you anymore. That was the report. Now, you could believe it or not, but the report was the Warriors offered him in the low 20s. And I imagine that came after they were out of the Paul George sweepstakes. But again, it's the list of the Warriors' priorities, and Klay was not near the top of their priority list, so now he's willing to leave. It's not about money for Klay. It's about his personal hurt feelings, and I can understand it. It makes perfect sense, but he is also willing, and you're talking about the Warriors helping Klay or not helping Klay with the extra money. It also is interesting that despite those hurt feelings, and if Klay was really upset enough to turn down $20 million a year from the Warriors when he's probably not going to get that from anybody else, that he is not upset enough to just say, screw the sign-in trade, I'm not helping you guys at all. At least he's willing to do a sign-in trade and help the Warriors get something back in return.
Yeah, that's the other thing you have to keep in mind here is that he does not have to agree.
He could just take the 12.9 mid-level and say, Warriors, you're getting nothing back from me. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so it tells me that he's looking to squeeze a little bit more money. And in order to do that, the Warriors have to help him.
He's looking to squeeze a little bit more money, but still play elsewhere. Because he has potentially more money on the table from the Warriors. But it's like, nope. I don't want to be here anymore.
And in order for that to happen, once again, call it a solid, call it a favor. That's exactly what the Warriors' role is going to be going forward as it relates to Klay Thompson today, if it is indeed a signing trade. So it'll be, I think that the fact that he's going around the offices and saying goodbye to people is, it's going to hit everybody right between the eyes eventually. But the Warriors right now, I mean, what is it what's the next move? I think is what we're all sort of we're sitting on waiting to see what it is that they're going to do. Because as much as, and listen, we did a show yesterday and I talked about, you know, resetting. That's where I think you should go. That's the most pragmatic decision. But I don't think that's where the Warriors are at, because as of February, this has been confirmed. They called the Lakers about the services of LeBron James. This is not a team that's ready to reset. So whatever the grand scheme is here, whatever the big play is, I do think, while I'm not going to agree with it, depending on who it is that they move out, I do think that the proverbial other shoe is definitely going to drop, whether it's today or in coming days, as it relates to the Golden State Warriors making a significant move this offseason.
But again, I think they want to make a significant move. But I think what we're finding out is that all of their decisions are predicated on other teams or other players.
Yep.
Like, they don't get to dictate their path anymore. They don't get to dictate their direction. I mean, Klay Thompson's Exhibit A. If the report's true that they offered him $20 million as a contingency plan, he told him to kick rocks, well, now they got to pivot. You know, they went all in to try. Well, actually, I don't think they did go all in, but they went halfway in to try and get Paul George. That didn't work. Okay, so we got to pivot. I think that's why it's going to be so fascinating in about, 36 minutes, 35 minutes to see what happens at the trade deadline, because I think all the rest of the moves that happen in the league are going to eventually tell the Warriors which avenue to go down. It's also why I think that they keep Chris Paul's $30 million, because at least they have a path to a trade and they keep their options open. We've heard the word optionality a million times since last summer.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
And I think that's all, not number one, that's all they have. But number two, that's what they're going to continue to push and basically tell us that they're aiming for because they're out of options.
At some point, you better capitalize on your optionality because they have not capitalized on their optionality yet. They've done nothing yet.
I do think it's ironic that optionality has been the theme of this team for about 365 days, and it feels like they are running out of it. They are running out of options.
And one of those options is coming due in 34 minutes. That is Chris Paul's option, and the Warriors have a decision to make before free agency opens to guarantee Chris Paul's contract, $30 million, to just waive him, get nothing in return for him and lose the salary slot. They can also, before the free agency period opens, they can also trade him, but they can also just accept the $30 million option, guarantee his contract, and then trade him later. And I think we're all in agreement that is the likeliest scenario, that even if the Warriors aren't terribly confident that they're going to get a trade done, they're probably going to guarantee Chris Paul's contract. And that is the first domino to fall for the Golden State Warriors, but there will be plenty more throughout the day here on 95.7 The Game. It's our draft, or pardon me, our NBA free agency special. Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, Dan DeVona with you. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be only like 25 minutes away from free agency opening. We want to hear from you guys. What should the Warriors do with the Klay and Chris Paul contracts? Who should they target in potential trades? Who do you want back from maybe the Mavericks, Lakers, Clippers in a Klay sign-in trade? Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 888-957-9570. The 95.7 The Game free agency special continues next right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's our free agency special here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, and Dan DeVona with you all the way up until 6 o'clock. Free agency is about 26 minutes and 40 seconds away. We're getting close to the
beginning of free agency.
We all are. Well, at least I am, because we're going to get an influx of news coming in right at 3 o'clock, and we'll be here to break it all down with you on 95.7 The Game. We're keeping a particular eye out on what the Warriors do with Chris Paul. That's likely going to be the first domino, although it might not be major news. It might just be the Warriors are guaranteeing his contract, or they're waiving his contract. However, waiving his contract is going to be pretty big news, because that would signal that the Warriors don't feel like they can get anything for Chris Paul on the trade market. But guaranteeing their contract at least gives them the optionality, keyword there, to potentially trade him later. And then we'll keep an eye on Klay Thompson as well. All that's coming up here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, and Dan DeVona with you. This is kind of a turning point for the Golden State Warriors, and you kind of get the sense that they're in, you know, the deep end of the pool, and they don't really have a way out, because they're just, as Evan was talking about earlier, they're kind of at the whims of other teams right now being willing to play ball with them. And at least the Clippers to this point were one team that wasn't willing to play ball with them. They need somebody to pick up the bat, pick up the phone, answer Mike Dunleavy's call to get something done, because otherwise you might lose Klay Thompson for nothing, you might lose Chris Paul for nothing, and then you're stuck without really much options of trying to get better.
Yeah, well, I think it was Paul George that didn't want to play ball with him. If he did, he could have demanded a trade essentially and opted back in and saying, okay, I want to go to the Golden State Warriors, make this thing happen. Much like that of the Warriors, the Clippers now find themselves in a position where they could be left holding the bag if they lose their man Paul George to free agency, which, you know, obviously he's declared for free agency. They get nothing in return. So ironically, he's going to speak to them first, and reportedly, according to Woj, he's going to Philadelphia, and then he's going to Orlando. Those are the three teams over the next 3 days that Paul George is going to talk to. I don't know, guys. I think that, you know, this sense of they're out of options, I'm on record thinking that Paul George was never in play, and even if it was, it's just not a good move for a guy who's 34 years of age that you're going to max out. Really, the Warriors, an aging team to begin with, are taking on a guy at age 34 that when he's 38, you're going to be paying $60 million. Just never made sense. We may not, you know, it may be options that people aren't in favor of, but the idea of Kuminga and all those young assets going someplace else to bring in whether it's Lauri Markkanen, depending on what it is that Utah's doing these days. There's a lot of things that I think are still, in terms of an option, a viable option for the Golden State Warriors, that are still there. And guaranteed, Dunleavy's been on the horn, and there are things brewing that, as of right now, we probably are completely in the dark. But I don't think it's as dire as that Golden State is down to the last bullet in the chamber, and it's all about Chris Paul. I do believe that, while I would hit reset, that this is a Warrior team that's looking to make a significant move and still has the arsenal to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think a reset would be the dark times that you're talking about. But I also do think, look, they're always going to have backup plans and contingencies, and but I do think they wanted Paul George. Like, I really do. And the report today from Kawakami said as much. Like, they got Curry and Draymond's 100% seal of approval to give Paul George a 4-year max contract if they could swing a trade. The difference was, I don't think they were willing to go all in for it with their young assets and their draft capital. You know, it was apparently a combination of Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, Kuminga, Moody, and a pick, but not all of those in every offer were together. I think all of those together might have been able to swing something for Paul George, but it didn't sound like they were willing to move both of their wings, Wiggins and Kuminga, in the same move. I think they wanted Paul George really badly. I think they wanted to create a big three, a new big three of Curry, Draymond, and PG-13. Whether it was the right decision or not, I'm kind of with you, Dan. I think that paying that much money is too much, but it wasn't as if they weren't willing to do it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You have to think about this from the perspective of that of the Clippers. You really going to trade Paul George to a division rival? And if you are...
Well, the Warriors about to trade Clay to the Lakers.
Well, if you are, I mean, it's a different scenario. If you're going to trade, and you're the Clippers, and you're going to trade Paul George to the Warriors of all teams, and listen, Paul George has all the leverage, so if he says that's where I want to go, then that's what they're going to do. But you're going to make sure that you take everything that the Warriors have to offer, which includes Kuminga, which includes, you know, your young draft picks. They were going to look for the proverbial boatload.
Okay, I got a question, but I just want to read what Tim Kawakami of The Athletic wrote, because this is what Evan is talking about. This is pulled straight from Tim Kawakami's piece from, I think, late yesterday, but I read it here for the first time this morning. It says, quote, "The Warriors had agreed to give George a max 4-year extension upon arrival. They believed they had proposed several variations of a trade that the Clippers could and would accept. Stephen Curry and Draymond Green were 100% on board. George gave strong indications he wanted to join the Warriors, but the Clippers never agreed to any version of a trade." Tim Kawakami continued, and this is what Evan was talking about as well. "From what I've heard, some combination, but definitely not all, of Wiggins, CP3, Kuminga, or Moody, plus one first-round pick were put into discussions with the Clippers. But he says, I'm also told the Warriors likely would not have put Wiggins and Kuminga together into any offer, but also that it never got that far anyway. And while I agree with what you're saying, Dan, why would the Clippers be eager to help out the Golden State Warriors unless they got everything they possibly wanted? That's fair. But now he opts out and you run the risk of losing him for nothing to the 76ers.
No, those scenarios are true as well. I think it's interesting that he's talking to the Clippers first, because my first inclination in all of this is that he's going to go back to L.A.
Seems like he wants to stay on the West Coast.
Yeah,
I think he does.
And a lot of this is just, as we have talked about repeatedly, it's just sort of a comfort level. And he's a Southern California guy. He's from Palmdale, which is far from L.A., but still close enough. And he went to Fresno State. And there's a familiarity there. And I still think that they have a puncher's chance of landing him. But the interesting part there is, what is it that they're going to talk about? I asked you this at the break, because that offer's been on the table for a year now. So but I do find it interesting that he's like, I want to talk to you guys
first.
But
now he has the leverage of potentially a full 4-year max offer from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, I mean, deals don't always happen before they have to happen. And I think this is one of those final hour situations where it's like, all right, like, seriously, are you going to stiff us over? You know, you don't want to go play in Philly. Like, come on. You tried to do everything you could to get out of Indiana and Oklahoma City to get to the City of Angels, a place you're from. Let's do it. I think the Kawakami piece, though, is a little interesting too, Grandy and Dan, from this perspective. That came out really quick. Like, that piece was written overnight. I do think that the Warriors wanted people to know how close they were to getting Paul George, because I think that if this thing goes south in free agency, there needs to be crowd control. Like, you have to be able to save face if you don't indeed pull off a move that people expect you to.
We were so close.
And this is how close we were. And in fact, we told you about it the moment that it happened. Kawakami is very well connected. I think the piece is, you know, is certainly enlightening and enriching from an information perspective. But I also think that the Warriors wanted everyone to know how badly they wanted Paul George, just in case they can't actually go big fish hunting like we all expect them
to. So is that where they're at right now? It's all spin mode? Like, we are at the point where we need...
They're also doing the same thing with Clay.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why we hear Chris Haynes saying, well, you know, they offered him low 20s. You know, he had the offer on the table last year, but we tried to pay the guy. Like, I think they are preparing for the worst, which is also how are we going to make our... Because I also think the Warriors are smart for doing this. If things don't go the way you want them to, which, to be fair, they have no control over, it appears to me at this point, then you have to figure out how you're going to play the PR game and sell an offseason after not making the playoffs to a very hungry franchise and fan base.
Yeah, I think we all could agree that if they were to bring back the same unit essentially intact, that that's a huge miss.
Oh, boy.
But go ahead, what do we got?
We got some breaking news. Hit it.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Breaking news from The Athletic's Shams Charania. Golden State is waiving Chris Paul. Sources say Paul had a $30 million guaranteed date today. He now becomes a free agent. The Golden State Warriors are waiving Chris Paul. That means he's a free agent. They lose that $30 million contract slot, and they cannot use him to trade away and get equal money in return. Chris Paul, a free agent.
Wow. Well, they saved a lot of money.
Wow.
Well, I think that I mentioned this off the top, that the closer that we got with this Chris Paul decision, that I just felt they were leaning that way, that they were going to waive him. And I think it was the first words out of my mouth because, like, we talked about this yesterday, and nobody wants to talk about reset and cutting salaries. And if you couldn't get Paul George, maybe it's time. Maybe this is the first indicator that, it's time for Klay Thompson to go away because we're not going to pay that for a guy at age 34, soon to be 35. The Chris Paul scenario didn't present itself, so let's stop trying to make something that isn't there, and let's save money, let's go young, and then let's essentially reset this thing instead of getting into the clouds by going the route of a Paul George or even trying to hang on to a Chris Paul and a $30 million contract and trying to get equal value in return. To me, this might be a clear shot across the bow that this is now becoming a cost-effective franchise that might be headed in a completely other direction than where we've been at for the last couple of weeks, months, about who is it going to be via free agency, who is going to be that next superstar to play alongside that of Steph Curry in the final 2 years, which obviously was going to cost money. And maybe this is an indicator that, you know, this is a team that's ready to go down a different path.
I think it's pretty simple. It means they're not going big fish hunting. I mean, I think that's the takeaway. Like, that's really your only path to acquiring a max level slot player at this point. Because even though you waive Chris Paul, you save $30 million, you're still $6.7 million over the cap. Like, you can't go sign a free agent. You can't just replace that money. I mean, I think there's still avenues to improve. They can still, and I think this also says to me that they are going to move Clay in a sign and trade, because I think that that's the easiest path to improvement now. But if you're not going to have Chris Paul, then to me, you don't really have a player out there that you like enough to use his contract for. I don't think they, in this case, were then in on Brandon Ingram or could swing a deal for Brandon Ingram. I don't think that someone like Zach LaVine was a player that they wanted, because they would have needed Chris Paul's salary to match that. Lauri Markkanen was probably too expensive for them, and they would have had to use part of Chris Paul's contract in order to make that work. I just don't think that there was a big superstar or star caliber player out there that they deemed worthy of trying to go out and
aside from
play
Paul
big
George.
For. Outside of Paul George, I think this to me says that it was Paul George or bust this offseason.
Well, they also just freed up $73 million.
not that they can go out and spend that on someone else, but they're saving a ton of money on the salary, on the tax. Yes, they're saving a ton of money.
They are officially out of the luxury tax. They have about $23 million.
And if you were to believe Lacob, it's been a sticking point for a while now. So I think it's significant now that the $73 million coming off the books puts them in that situation.
I still will say it is possible for them to go out and trade for other players, such as Brandon Ingram, who's making 36. It's just it's going to take maybe players that you had a little bit more value in to get it done. Andrew Wiggins making $26 million this coming year. You could attach him and Gary Payton. Now, do the Pelicans do that? Probably not. I don't know why they would. But there are ways to get up to Brandon Ingram's $36 million. Lauri Markkanen's only making $18 million, but he only has 1 year left on his deal. He's going to want a max extension. Do the Warriors want to jump right back into luxury tax mode by doing that? I don't know. But they can make the money work for Lauri Markkanen. The sticking point there is it's probably going to take maybe Moody and Kuminga plus like three first-round picks. And do you want to do that? Who knows? Getting up to Zach LaVine's $43 million will be a lot more difficult. It would have to be Wiggins. It would have to be like four other players to make that work. And you can forget about Kevin Durant. That's no longer a possibility for $51 million now for the Golden State Warriors. So you're right, Evan. I think this basically wraps up the biggest of the big fish in terms of contract. And if there is anyone of any kind of value, anyone decent out there in a Brandon Ingram tier, it's going to cost you a lot more valuable pieces than you were thinking it was going to cost, because Chris Paul was going to be a large part of that, and his expiring slot is very valuable. Teams can use that to save a ton of money, and now the Warriors don't have that option. Well, so it just makes everything that much more difficult.
Let me just ask you guys, when you think about all of the options for the Golden State Warriors that were on the table over the last couple of weeks, do you think hitting reset was one of them?
Yes.
And if you do, then this is what we're experiencing. Essentially, what it is one of the options. Again, it's not the sexy one. It's not the one that fans are clamoring for. But if you're looking to go in another direction, save money, and get younger, well, then we may have just taken a step in that, a big, significant step in that direction. So they might just be exhausting one of the many options that was available to them when they sat in a room much like this and decided what it is that they want to do as a franchise going forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a salary reset, right? I mean, I also think, like, I still think Klay Thompson's going to leave, but it does, if they wanted to, come back and say, hey, Klay, we got a little more money for you, if that's okay, if that's what you want, then they could do that. So I do think that even though Klay, in my mind, is, I don't know, 95 to 98% gone, this opens, I guess, perhaps a backdoor conversation because they have more cash now if they want to bring him back. But, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I think, look, again, this is why I felt like Paul George was the guy for the Warriors, because if it wasn't him, then I do think they were comfortable, Dan, with resetting their books. And ideally, it's just a one-year thing. But I think it's also because they don't have any idea of the direction of this franchise right now, outside of Steph Curry and, of course, perhaps Draymond Green. I think they're still trying to move Wiggins. I think if there was a deal out there that they deemed good enough, they would have opted into Paul. I think they would have been willing to move Kuminga. Clearly, they were willing to move him and not Wiggins for someone like Paul George. So I just think they've exhausted all options at this point. And that word about optionality kind of comes to a close, because now you don't have the $30 million. It also does essentially make the deal that they gave Jordan Poole just a salary dump.
Exactly. It's exactly what it makes it. And I was just going to say the same exact thing. And all the optionality that they boasted about for the last year is, it turned out to be nothing. An option to just think about what we're going to do with it for a year and then cut them. Like, they did nothing with it. They got him to play for him, and he was fine when he was healthy, and they didn't win a single didn't make the postseason, loss in the play-in, and now they just waive him. So that optionality that they thought that they gained by signing Jordan Poole and then by trading him and getting the veteran Chris Paul back ultimately helped them do nothing.
We also do have a small piece of news. James Harden is planning to sign a 2-year, $70 million contract to return to the LA Clippers. Okay. That's according to Shams Charania of The Athletic.
Yeah, which makes sense, because his name was being bandied about when LeBron James opted out of his deal, thinking that, okay, well, I'll leave some money on the table, so maybe you can go get James Harden at the mid-level exception, which was ludicrous because of the money that he could get going back to the Clippers. And I think the same holds true for Clay.
Paul George might be on his way to Philadelphia because I'm not sure you make that kind of... I mean, he was making $35 million last year anyways, but going on to age 34, 35... You know, I think that's also a move you make to brace yourself if Paul George indeed says, I'm out.
But guys, let me ask you this. Think about when we talk about the changing of the guard, that is the Western Conference, where now OKC was the number one seed. Just let that settle in. OKC, a doormat for years. And what did Oklahoma City do over the last couple of years is that they were bad, but they compiled draft picks. They went young. And you could see that there was a future in place. The changing of the guard may also mean that that's the path now of the Golden State Warriors. That recognizing that trying to hang on to something that isn't there and giving way to the OKCs and the Minnesotas for the time being, and Golden State now going in another direction so that in a year or two, they can be relevant once again. Tough pill to swallow. But that might be where it is that they're headed. And hey, let me just throw this out. It's a little premature, and I'm sure it's probably more appropriate if we were doing a show in Detroit or Charlotte. But first name Cooper, last name Flag is sort of where it is that you want to be going as far as the Golden State Warriors and their future.
Are you encouraging them to tank?
I think next year it's going to be a poop for Coop.
Oh, God.
Not bad.
Huh? Oh, God. So if you just
wave the flag,
plant it for flag. Yeah, I don't know what the Warriors do. Waving of like Chris Paul, cutting Chris Paul, losing that salary slot really decreases the Warriors' chances to get a difference maker in here. So where do the Warriors go from here? What is the pivot? You can gain something not terribly meaningful, I would imagine, in a Clay sign-in trade. You have a mid-level exception because you are a fully mid-level team now without Clay under contract, without Chris Paul under contract. You can get a decent player back for that, but how do the Warriors change their fortunes moving forward? We've got a little more than 6 minutes until free agency officially opens. We're going to take a break here so we can be back when free agency does open. It's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you. The first domino has fallen for the Warriors. Chris Paul waived. It means they can't include him in any trades, and that was a big part of potential trades because he was making $30 million. So what do the Warriors do? Who are the big names going to? Where is Clay going? We might find out in about 10 minutes. Keep it locked here as we can continue our free agency special on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.